fear and like being addicted to it and needing to know all of those things is also, and I think on a daily level, and this was kind of the last piece to my journey that I realized recently, that it was a daily thing. Like I was putting a ton of pressure on myself to be all the things and do all the things. And so I was looking at all these huge past traumatic things and trying to process all of that, but I was missing the piece of like every single day I am putting stress and pressure on myself to be a perfect mom and eat perfectly and exercise perfectly and run a business perfectly and be a perfect wife and have a perfect house. And that for me was finally when I started doing some self-care and learning about self-love and acceptance and all of those things that really, really helped my journey.
Fitness podcast. It is Wednesday, November the 7th. Thanks so much for tuning in today. As always, before we get started, the first ask that I have from you is if you are listening on an Apple device, an iDevice, iPhone, iPad, iPod, I don't know if that's a thing anymore, Mac computer, anything like that, please go and review the show, rate the show, and then tap the write a review. It really helps more people be able to find this podcast. And before we kind of get into what today's is, I just wanted to thank from the bottom of my heart everybody that tunes in every single week, or even if you've only listened to a couple of episodes. The month of October generated over 5,000 listens, which by my I guess that I would say is that there's probably somewhere between 1,000 and 1,250 subscribers that tune in every single week, which is awesome. That's more than I thought was going to happen at any point in time. This podcast is a little less than a year old, and to have that kind of growth, it's actually grown almost 10 times just since the month of May, which, you know, beyond my wildest dreams, a lot of people are out there able to find this and able to help themselves, help their journey, things like that. So today's episode, we're going to bring a pain recovery story with Allie Dameron. So Allie has a podcast, The Allie Dameron Show, and similar to when I had Caitlin Michaels on a few months ago, Allie is an acupuncturist, and I have a lot of interest and this idea of somebody that does what has traditionally been known as a physical healing modality. Where's the place for TMS, chronic pain, diversion pain syndrome, the mind-body syndrome, really whatever it is that you want to call it. Where's the place with the Dr. Sarno theory coupled with the physical modality? So Allie goes into details about that. She also has overcome chronic pain herself. I actually just heard her talking on her own podcast just yesterday about how she had crippling back pain for 5 years. That would be a 6 out of 10 all the way up to a 10 out of 10. And she doesn't have an ounce of pain anymore. So it's really pretty amazing. So she's going to open up about some of the different things that sort of set off her her pain, kind of what she thought it was. She's a busy mom. She's got 2 young kids, just like me. So we've got quite a bit in common as you go through and you listen to the podcast. So again, this is Allie Dameron. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein, and I am here with Allie Dameron. And Allie, you're an acupuncturist out of Denver, and I love you're actually the second acupuncturist that has been on the show. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So I actually first came across you because you were on my pal Caitlin Michaels' podcast, Mind Body Mastery, I think a couple of months ago. So I got a little sense of your story, and it sounds like you've had some chronic pain issues, and I've listened to your podcast as well. I guess let's start there. Like, tell us about what it is that you do for a living, who you're helping, who you're serving.
Yeah, so I am an acupuncturist in the Colorado or the Denver, Colorado area, and I started acupuncture kind of to do it in a general capacity to help all kinds of people. And through my own journey with becoming a mom and all of these types of things, I have specialized more in like women's health, dealing with fertility and hormonal work. But I have to say, through my own long journey with the TMS healing and all of these things, that my practice definitely, like Caitlin's, encompasses a lot of the TMS theories and teaching and all of those things as well. So I love to do kind of both types of medicine and combine them.
So one thing that I found so fascinating when I talked to Caitlin, because I had her on here maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and I had basically asked, like, how do you handle or how do you reconcile the conflict of, you know, doing a physical modality, but sort of having this life-changing experience with chronic pain? Because did you discover, like, the Sarno work and the mind-body stuff after you went to school for acupuncture or before?
Yeah, you definitely did. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with that being said, like, you know, you kind of go to school, you spend a ton of money getting trained in this stuff, and then you discover that, hey, maybe there's something else out there. Like, how do you reconcile the two? Give me an example of, I guess, where you can kind of mend those fences.
Yeah, so a lot of different ways. So I found TMS and Dr. Sarno's work like after I had graduated, and I actually got chronic lower back pain kind of in the beginning of my schooling. And I, you know, obviously used acupuncture a ton. And honestly, it would, depending on the treatment, some of the treatments I would get like a little bit of relief. I used a massage therapist too. And kind of like everybody else in this community, like ebbed and flowed a little bit. But I definitely did know that it was stress related. And so I kind of kept going with that. And eventually my husband just Googled like stress related back pain and found Healing Back Pain by Dr. Sarno. And I read it and I found myself on every page, like most of us here, and went from there. And to be honest with you, for a really long time, maybe like a year or two, I just kind of kept this to myself. I was like, I don't know how to integrate this into my practice. And it very clearly in lots of books says that like massage therapy, acupuncture, chiropractic, physical modalities, like don't ever do those for back pain or any pain. And so I kind of kept it to myself for a while. And then I actually started working with a TMS therapist. And through him, I realized that I could use acupuncture as a way to help me calm down my central nervous system. And so I used acupuncture that way. But to be really honest with you, like as my practice has transformed and my own learning has transformed with this, I talk to people in my office and I also do online consults. And mostly what we talk about in my office is how to heal outside of there with TMS. Even for fertility, it still plays a role in how their nervous system is very hyper. And I kind of have tied the physical and the emotional pieces together, I think, to help heal them in both regards, if that makes sense.
At this point in time, do you see acupuncture more as, so acupuncture was the last physical modality that I tried before I found Dr. Sarno's book. You know, I'd gone and done, I remember somebody telling me once that basically like the more like the further away that you get from whatever the initial onset of pain is, it seems like it becomes more acceptable to go further outside of the lines. Like you start with just a regular, an MD, your primary care physician, and then you might move into a specialist, and then you might move to a physical therapist and then a chiropractor. And you just keep going outside, right?
Yep.
Almost almost like Saturn's rings. And I did like Rolfing and chiropractic and neuromuscular therapy and things like that. And so like at this point, do you see, like when I was at acupuncture, I noticed that, and again, this was pre-Sarno, I found it incredibly relaxing. Like a lot of times, because there was a time before I had kids that I would go to a massage and I would actually just like get on the table and within 3 minutes I would fall asleep. And after the TMS onset, I couldn't do that. And I always had wondered why. And I think it's just, I was just too amped up. But with the acupuncture, I could go there and fall asleep within 5 or 10 minutes. And so do you think of it now when you share with your clients more that this is more of like a chillax, basically? this is meant to kind of to calm you down, or are you operating more so on like the meridians and kind of more of the traditional acupuncture that maybe a lot of us think of?
Yeah, so to be honest with you, it depends. I don't do a lot of treating pain anymore. I used to work in a chiropractic office for 3 years. While the whole time I knew about Dr. Sarno, and that was honestly kind of challenging for me because I would hear him tell patients all the time, like, you know, this is out of whack and this is why you're getting pain. And it just, it made me cringe every every day. And now I use acupuncture as, I use it in the meridian way for like fertility and women's health issues to balance out hormones and stuff like it was meant to be. But I also, if someone comes to me for back pain, like I never treat their back pain. I explain this as much as I can. I generally refer them to your Caitlin's podcast to get more in depth with it. Yeah. And then I calm them down. I release endorphins and serotonin and, yes, just massively calm down their central nervous system so that they, I think that's easier for them to accept this when they feel calm. Because I'm sure you've experienced this and I have too. Like when my nervous system is amped up and I'm having like adrenaline rushing through me, it's just really hard to heal anything in that state.
Oh yeah. I actually was making a joke with Nicole Sachs that the whole reason that the we were talking about illness, like, you know, like common colds basically and viruses and things like that. And I was telling her that like, okay, if we're to believe that a suppressed immune system happens because of TMS, which I strongly believe that it does. And men are sort of trained from a very young age, a lot of times, to like repress emotions and not, you know, show how you feel and talk about how you feel. Like, is that the genesis of the man cold? Is because we repress our emotions. And so we get colds a lot worse.
That's hilarious.
Like it makes like, I don't know if there's anything more scientific than that statement because
I know, totally. Yeah.
So tell me, I mean, you kind of like skimmed over it a little while ago about how, you looked up like stress related back pain and then had come across Sarna's book. Mm-hmm. Go into your pain story. When did it start? What happened? What symptoms, what different ailments were you diagnosed with? Kind of give us the whole rundown. Because a lot of times, like when I have just the common person on this show, like Kelsey Graham was on this podcast back in September, and I mean she set an all-time record for most listens in a day, and she was, you know, she's just a common person. She went through her story and I kept getting messages from people saying I experienced this, I experienced that, she really resonated with me. So tell us your story.
Yeah, so a little bit of a backstory. I definitely have always been a perfectionist in my life and tried to be very high achieving and, you know, maybe not felt as adequate in my life as I should have. And so I went to acupuncture school, and to set the stage for this, I was like, this is it. I'm going to get straight A's. I'm going to learn everything that I need to learn. I'm going to be perfect at this and make my whole family proud of me. And my husband, at the time, he's still my husband, but at the time, my husband was working for us to earn money while I was doing school. And so I was trying to get it done super fast so that we could start a family and get on with our life. And so just started the stage of this phase of my life with myself under a lot of pressure, putting a ton of pressure on myself. And I noticed as I got into my first semester there that I started having back pain when I woke up, and I wasn't super concerned about it or fearful or anything. And it just kind of kept going on. And one day I was working at a gym as a personal trainer, and I bent over, picked up like a 10-pound weight, and felt my back just like seize up, spasm. My SI joint hurt horrible. And so I went home and called the chiropractor and went there. And I went there like 3 times a week for 4 weeks or something, and it wasn't getting any better. And the chiropractor was like, oh my gosh, I have no idea why. And I was like, well, what else could it be? And kind of like you explained with Saturn rings, like just kept going and going and going with that. So then I would try acupuncture at school. Then I finally, that wasn't really helping. And by this point I was training for my 5th marathon, and I was supposed to do a 15-mile run the next day. And the chiropractor was like, oh my God, don't ever run 15 miles on this. Like that's terrible. And just instilled all this fear in me about it. And, you know, months later, like it was affecting my quality of life. It was something that my husband and I liked to do together, was run. It was something that I liked to do, as a person, and I was not able to run or exercise anymore. And the back pain just kept getting worse and worse and worse. during my engagement, my back pain was terrible. It was a very stressful time planning the wedding and family members and all those things. And so it just got terrible. But I noticed when I went on my honeymoon, I had zero back pain. Like, it just vanished. And I had gone to doctors and they did an MRI and they were like, well, you have a little tiny bit of degeneration at L5S1. And I was 25 years old. So I wasn't, I wasn't old to have a bunch of degeneration or anything. And so they were like, oh, we don't really know. Started going to physical therapy. They told me, like, never to do crunches anymore because that was hurting it. But they told me that my core was weak. And at the time, I didn't really question it. But now I'm like, how does one's core just get weak one day? Like, doesn't make any sense to me, especially at that age and the fact that I was like a marathon runner. I don't know, just kind of wild. But so I kept going with it. And eventually my husband Googled stress-related back pain or something and came up with Dr. Sarno's book, because at the time I was just seeking so much reassurance. I was like asking my mom and my husband every day, like, is this going to get better? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to be able to run again? This is ruining my life. And so started having a lot of the preoccupation and fear definitely around the symptom that I think a lot of TMSers have. And so read the book, got kind of an instant book cure from that. And then I was a new mom at the time that I found this. I had like a 6-month-old. And I think from the pressure of that, that just daily life kind of got me. And I wasn't processing any emotions or realizing it at the time. And so it kind of ebbed and flowed for several months thereafter. And eventually I hired a TMS psychologist to help me, because my dad had died when I was 19. And I was like convinced that that was this one repressed emotion that I was missing, and something around surrounding that experience had been living in me forever, and I just was never going to figure it out. And so he helped me, and eventually I got completely rid of back pain. And today I have not had any back pain for years, like none.
How'd you go about finding the TMS therapist?
Through the TMS Wiki website, actually. He works at the Pain Psychology Center.
Oh, awesome. If you don't mind my asking.
Yeah. It's Daniel Lyman.
Awesome. Yeah. So he's the guy that does. Do you ever watch his Feelings and Stuff episodes on YouTube? Have you heard of that?
No.
So he had him and Christy. So Christy Weepy, who's also there, she's the associate director. And I had her on back in June, and they do a weekly web series called Feelings and Stuff. So you should check that out. I think they're in I think they're in season three, season four, something like that. Essentially what they tackle on there is not TMS per se, but it's overall like mental health, and it's a lot of stuff around anxiety but it's awesome. I think you would love it.
Yeah. So I really can't say like enough good things about Daniel. I refer tons of my patients to him, and I've known him now, that was 3 years ago, and we still actually talk occasionally, and he's like literally one of my favorite people in my life. So can't say enough good things about him. But through the experience of TMS healing in the last 3 years, I completely got rid of back pain, had none of that anymore, but I started to get lots of symptom imperatives. And this is going to sound crazy, but my dad, I mentioned, passed when I was 19 of colon cancer. And I've witnessed in my life, I think, more deaths and illness than the average person with family members. And so it turned into me, the symptom imperative were, for me, was totally like health OCD. And so every single like sensation that I felt in my body for a long time, I would just instantly like go to the worst thing. Like, I had convinced myself I had all sorts of cancers. I had MS before. I was going to have like chronic migraines forever, all these things. And I can honestly say that as we sit here today, most of that is completely gone, which is good. But that was kind of my symptom imperative, which encompassed like a lot of different symptoms. I mean, I've had like shin splints and knee pain and stomach pain and rib pain and anxiety for sure, some panic stuff, heart palpitations. I've had symptoms of like just adrenaline, like shakiness and dizziness and all of those different symptom imperatives. But I can say to all your listeners out there that are experiencing these types of things, the first part of this is to get rid of fear. And every time that my fear goes down around the symptoms, it goes away.
What, give me an example of, cause I was just about to ask, like what, when you get a twinge or something, like what was the immediate thought? Like say before you maybe got good at this and now yeah. What's the thought? How do you dissolve it quickly?
Yeah. So I think each time I've gotten it, it's definitely been like a practice for me, but originally I would get a sensation and it was the weirdest thing, but it was like my brain just like a laser went to the very worst thing. Like if I had a rib pain or something, like I can remember this happening around Christmas time. I got like this rib pain and I was just like convinced that it was my gallbladder exploding. And it just like sent me into honestly panic. And I just like couldn't even logically talk myself out of it. It was really bizarre, but that happened to me with a lot of different symptoms in the early days of TMS after the back pain. It was like my back pain hid a ton of emotions and a ton of stuff for me. And once that like anchor was gone, my brain was just searching around for anything to freak me out and scare me until I finally got some of like the perfection and self-esteem and self-love and all of those things under control. But in terms of the symptom, yeah, it was just an automatic, like, this is the worst thing. And I was so preoccupied on it and so scared that it literally ruined my whole day. And as time has gone on, I have, you know, tried a lot of different techniques, whether that was like using evidence or like logic, to help myself and be like, you've never been sick. You have no reason to believe that you would have any of these things. Honestly, Daniel told me to start scaring myself and to start being like, okay, if you think that you have MS, like tell yourself, yeah, this might be MS because you don't know for absolute certain that it's not ever. And tell yourself that as a symptom gets worse, that you'll handle yourself then. And that is honestly, it sounds very counterintuitive, but that's what the method that actually did up end up working for me.
You know, TMSers, they're big. I just Googled it because I wanted to make sure I got the word right. Catastrophizing. Okay, so that's how it's said. Yep. which is an irrational thought a lot of us have in believing that something is far worse than it actually is. Like all those things that you just mentioned are things that I did. I remember going to a doctor. I have MS. I need to get my gallbladder removed. Now, like looking back, the absurdity of it all is so there and it's so prevalent. But when you're in it, like it's tough to get away from that just because there is no rational explanation. So like at this point, I mean, it sounds like you have it pretty well dialed in to where you get a twinge, you get a feeling and like you have now you're conditioned to be able to get rid of it. And can you do it with just, I mean, is it thoughts? Is it calming yourself down? Is it a journal? Like what are some of the methods maybe that you've used that worked well, that worked well, and then maybe a couple other ones that didn't seem to work so well?
Yeah. So I did probably a good year ago this month. I think it's been a year. I started journaling every single day and I would journal about things that were frustrating or made me angry or sad or whatever. And so I did that every single night. And I do think that for a few months, that kind of cleaned the emotional basement out and let me start at kind of a blank slate. And so I do think that that was beneficial for a while. However, through that experience, I think that I was getting myself stuck in the notion of negativity. So focusing on everything that was making me mad or sad or what, or guilty or any of those things. And that was becoming more of like a preoccupation for me to avoid repressed emotions, because so much in TMS we're taught that's the cause of this and to avoid getting repressed emotions. So I was trying to not do that. And like I said, it just was bringing me into kind of a negative place. And so that's when, probably around the beginning of this year, is when I started like the scare technique of like being, basically Daniel explained it to me, like, you have to be okay with some of these really scary thoughts because you're avoiding them and pushing them away like the plague because you don't want to get any disease or anything like that. But nobody can tell you for absolute certainty without medical imaging or whatever that you don't have this. And you just have to learn to be okay with things and not let your central nervous system like freak out every time that you have a sensation. And so it was really counterintuitive, but the scaring myself technique did actually work. And then I would say a couple months ago, I actually started to practice gratitude to where I was trying to pull myself out of kind of that negative mindset of like not repressing all emotions and just feeling angry all the time, that I was like, okay, I am constantly focusing on what's wrong in my life, what needs to change, where I'm feeling, what I need to do better, all of these types of things. And instead of looking at my life like what's going right. And so I started to write down at night like 10 to 15 things unique to just that day only that went right, that made me feel good, that made me feel happy. And then in consequence, my brain during the day started to kind of look at things more of a glass half full than glass half empty, which honestly, being very vulnerable, like that's been kind of a new thing for me. I remember being a kid and just never really looking at the glass half full. And that has been probably the most life-changing piece of things.
You know, it's interesting. So like you had mentioned earlier, you know, we can't really be sure about these things until we get medical imaging. I was just thinking last night, you know, imaging is very, very, it's a good thing. However, it also leads to a significant rise in, in being able to test, like, or being able to see problems on an MRI, but also scaring people. I remember my therapist had talked about a book called, what was it called? Overdiagnosed. I think it was called Overdiagnosed, but it basically just talks about the rise in being able to test for certain things, but literally there's been no, like there was a couple of instances of being able to screen and test for certain cancers in the book, and had said like our diagnostic rate has gone way up, but the cure rate and the treatment rate hasn't moved at all. And in fact, it might even be worse. And part of that could be the fear part of it. You know, the fear amps up. So the ability to self heal goes substantially down and it just becomes this vicious cycle. So, you know, say that you get somebody that's coming into your office and they say that I've gotten imaging of a herniated disc or of a bulging disc or some of these traditional things that a lot of us just think, hey, like, you know, this is the end of me, or I'm going to be in substantial pain, or I need surgery or whatever. They come into your office with these things confirmed on imaging. Like, what do you say?
It depends on what it is. If it's like herniated discs or stuff, I literally tell them to go look at some of the TMS research and literature and explain to them that we're only being diagnosed with those two things in particular because of medical advances. And it makes sense from a very logical standpoint that if there's pain in an area and there's a structural deformity or whatever, that the two would go together. But I was like, that is not the case. And there really has been a lot of research done that proves otherwise. And so, Caitlin and I talk about this too. Like, I just had a patient right now before this online, and she was having low back pain. And she's like, well, I bent over and picked up my daughter wrong. And she was like, so, because I had told her before to read healing back pain. And she was like, it doesn't apply to me because I did something physical. And at some point, and I'm sure you experience this too, like, you can't just argue with people. Like, either they're ready to hear the information or they're not. And I gently try to see if they're willing to hear it and willing to believe it. And if they're not, I have to just let them be and believe that.
I think that that's a tough thing about what it is that, like this podcast, for instance, like it's such a labor of love and something that I spend so much time doing. Like, this is, by the time that this airs, it'll be the 40th or 42nd episode. If I count in the interviewing, the show prep, the post-production, you're probably talking about I don't know, 60 or 70 hours plus however long it takes to schedule people for those. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, like, when I put a show on my personal Facebook page or on my personal Instagram page, say here's what the topic is today, it gets fewer likes and less attention than anything else that I post.
I know.
Which is, you know, it's like, it's a little disheartening, but at the same time, like, we're sort of raised in this medical model that, you know, a herniated disc causes pain. Like, I think of my oldest brother. He's got, you know, he's had like a wrist problem and you know, his wife has a back problem and herniated discs and crushed vertebrae or whatever these kind of things are. But like, mm-hmm. I can see that personality type. It's very easy once you've read all these books and done all this learning to armchair quarterback and see everybody around you that has it. You know what I mean?
Yes, totally.
That the body is just not as fragile, I think, as we've been led to believe that it is for the, you know, for 99% of us. And so, you know, that becomes kind of difficult. I would imagine, like, and I talked to Caitlin about this too. If you get somebody that comes in the office and you start talking to them about the mind body side or the TMS healing side, like, what's the general reception that people give you?
Probably a general reception is that some people hear what you're saying and are like, yeah, stress probably does cause this. But they're very reluctant to like end their relationship with a physical therapist or like fully embark on the journey, which as we know is the only way you're going to heal from TMS. You can't be half in. You have to full on do what you want in your life and run and lift and sit in chairs and stand and not expect pain and know that it's a mental response or an emotional response. Or you're not going to heal. Even people, I think, that are about 80 or 90% there, like, they might heal some, but they're not going to get over it, I don't think. And so I do think that sometimes people, about 50 or 60% of the time, people are willing to hear what I say. The other half are like, no, my doctor said this. And then I get some that just, like, look at me with glazed eyes. So I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one to explain, I think, which is why I don't think I do a great job explaining it, which is why I send them to you and Caitlin's podcast. Like, immerse yourself in this and, you know, for hours. And we only have 30 minutes to sit here and explain this to you. So that's kind of my theory on it.
You know, the podcast that dropped as we record this, which today it's, Wednesday, September 26th. The topic that I did it on was on unconscious rage. And for me, the subtle but really important distinction that, in my opinion, a lot of people are missing. And, you know, I tried to fool myself for the first few weeks of looking at Sarno, even the first few months of looking at Sarno, where I was about 70 to 75% better, and because I was not a book cure by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I read it, I interpreted it, but for the first long while, it was stress is my root. And so if I would journal, it would be like, I'm stressed about work, I'm stressed about my job, I'm stressed about selling, I'm stressed about my kids. Like, and even saying I'm stressed about my kids or my kids stress me out took like 6 months of therapy, by the way. But to go from I'm stressed or this is stress to going completely, you know, leaping over the line and saying, no, there's definitely unconscious rage there and I'm angry about this and I'm pissed about this. And I know that you had said, like, in when you did something similar and you were journaling, you felt like you were kind of dwelling on the negative. And I was just talking to Nicole Sachs about this, the author of The Meaning of Truth and at thecureforchronicpain.com. She and I had this discussion about, like, it's been really, really strange because when I go to a really dark place in journaling or in thoughts or whatever it is, as soon as that thought goes away or as soon as I've actually, like, felt whatever that darkest part of it is, like, the amount of love that I have for my kids and my wife and my life, like, once I've said it, it's gone and it seems to just sort of evaporate into air. And then it's almost like this like light of love comes out. It's so cheesy to say, but this like light of love comes out. And I, like, you know, all I want to do is like hold my kids and see my kids and hang out with my wife and all this kind of stuff. Whereas, you know, an hour prior, I just felt flustered. And so I feel like that's something that people need to get over. But again, if you have somebody that comes into your office and they're complaining of back pain and you were to say unconscious rage and you're deeply angry about something, like, you're probably going to get a lot of people turning around and walking out the door.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that, but I guess in my own journey, like, I have been, I think, lucky enough to be really introspective for myself and realize that I have gone through traumatic things that definitely did make me angry and sad, and realized, you know, through therapy too, but that I did put a lot of pressure on myself, and I've never, like, turned away from that. Whereas I think a lot of people, the ones that I've told about it, and I think just in general as a society, a lot of people, like, won't even admit that to themselves, which is a problem in itself. But they're like, oh no, I'm fine. Like, I don't have any anger. Why would I have any anger? And it's like, no, it's okay to feel that way. I see a lot of moms and postpartum women. And so I'm like, it's okay to know that being a mom and having a newborn is hard. You don't have to feel guilty about that. And they're like, really? Like, it's like this light at the end of the tunnel. They're like, oh my gosh, it's okay. Like, not everyone feels like this is the most amazing experience. I'm like, no, there is amazing pieces to this experience, but it's not all an amazing experience. It's really hard. And I think that helps. But that was a huge piece to my journey, that I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. And I was like, I'm supposed to love this. And I feel like I'm losing myself. I'm never sleeping. I don't know who I am or what I'm supposed to do anymore. This is really hard. I feel super isolated. But I'm supposed to love this. And so there was a whole internal battle going on about becoming a mom even. So I think just as a society, if we could just be a little more open, I think, even with what feelings we're feeling, I think things would be easier to conceive as part of TMS.
Yeah, no, so Dr. Arlene Feinblatt, she was in, so she's a therapist out of the Northeast, and she was actually, like, Sarno's number one, you know, he of all the people that, or of all the therapists that he would refer people to, she, I think, was the top one, basically. But she was in that movie, All the Rage, that Michael Galinsky did, where it was all about Sarno and all about Sarno's life and Sarno's practice and stuff like that. And there's a really important line in there that it was in the trailer, but it's such a short, fleeting moment. It's like a 4-second clip that's in the movie, and it's so easy to glaze past. But she says, if all we're really talking about here are feelings, and if people were kinder to themselves about what they feel, then mm-hmm. a lot of these problems wouldn't happen. And again, like, the fact that it took me 6 months of therapy to even be able to say out loud, hey, my mm-hmm. kids stress me out. And then imagine how much longer it took to say, yeah, there's definitely a part of me that's very angry about being a dad and wishing that it was a lot better, you know, a lot better, a lot easier, a lot more like I envision on all my favorite TV shows. You know, like, you see the kids in, like, Step by Step, like that old show. Uh-huh.
I know.
And, like, look at how happy the kids are, and, you know, everybody's getting along, and you know, everything's great, and literally they're never talking about money, and they're, you know, like, it's just the kids can play outside, you're not worrying about it. And the thing is too, like, you know, you turn on the news and it's like kids are getting abducted and houses are getting broken into. There's so much, right? You're just on overload all the time.
All the time. Yep. That was actually, now that you mentioned it, that was actually one of my things that I went through a couple years ago, and I had done it my whole life, but Daniel actually, like, brought it to light. I would become, like, obsessed with certain cases, like, of really traumatic, horrible things, like murders or rapes or anything like that, and be like, what's going to happen to this person? And it would freak me out. And he was like, you're totally, like, addicted to fear and overload. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, like, the level of concern that you have toward these is that your amygdala is basically just, like, scanning for anything, and you like to feel like that, and your brain's looking at your life like you're in a horror movie. I'm like, yeah.
So do you remember it was about 4.5 years ago, that Malaysian Airlines flight that they still haven't found? That was,
yeah.
So, I have never in my life been more obsessed with a news story than I was with that one. I would say probably for a year, I would, you know, I'd wake up at, like, 2 a.m. to go pee or whatever. And then I would go and I'd check Twitter and I'd search the search news, mm-hmm. news stories, trying to find any new information I could about that story. And, you know, people that have TMS and have chronic, like, again, we go back to the catastrophizing, however it is you pronounce it. Like, we're sort of always thinking about this stuff, and eventually it becomes what we're thinking about, our pain all the time, all the time, all the time. Like, what, you know, what's the next thing that's going to go wrong? And we're probably people that at some point have made a statement very similar to, oh, well, of course this happens to me, or, you know what I mean? Like, like sort of that type of rhetoric. It's just something, you know, just a part of who we are and what it is that we say. And so, yeah, I mean, I followed that. So I totally know what you're talking about in terms of, terrible news stories. It's like, it's just a weird, and I especially like in the last year and a half, I've been so jealous of the people that I know that just don't seem to ever get hung up. Like, they just don't remember things. You know what I mean? Like what a, what a gift, right? To not remember anything. And I can, like, there's a lot of times where I can say this bad thing happened on this date at this time, at this particular second, in this one spot.
Me too. Yeah, it is. TMS is crazy like that. Like, there are so many aspects to it. Like, I think, as we were talking about earlier, like, the repressed emotions thing and feeling emotions, I think that's a piece to it. I think what we just talked about like, the fear and, like, being addicted to it and needing to know all of those things is also, and I think on a daily level, and this was kind of the last piece to my journey that I realized recently, that it was a daily thing. Like, I was putting a ton of pressure on myself to be all the things and do all the things. And so I was looking at all these huge past traumatic things and trying to process all of that. But I was missing the piece of, like, every single day I am putting stress and pressure on myself to be a perfect mom and eat perfectly and exercise perfectly and run a business perfectly and be a perfect wife and have a perfect house. And that for me was finally when I started doing some self-care and learning about self-love and acceptance and all of those things that really, really helped my journey.
Nicole Sachs, twice on a recent episode of this podcast, said psychoanalyze me. one of the times was talking about, this isn't about the oldest brother I was talking about earlier, but the one that's closest to me in age, just above me. So I have three brothers. He's my older one. But when I was a kid, you know, he would lie and he would steal and he was pretty violent. And he did a lot of drugs and he drank a lot and all that kind of stuff. And part of the perfectionist personality that I think is probably like, okay, I observed him when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old. Just, you know, like pulling a knife on my dad and just, you know, getting drunk all the time and doing a lot of drugs and doing painkillers, even though he didn't have any sort of an injury, things like that. And just a lot of the yelling and just the behavior. And, you know, I'm now 32. I've never had a puff of a cigarette. I've never done a drug. I haven't been even tipsy in 7 years, and I'm sort of always the do-gooder, right? Even like things like Mother's Day or Father's Day, like I try to make it the best thing possible. And, you know, I think the unconscious or the subconscious reason or the motivation there is like, that was the worst of the worst that I could see, and I want to be completely opposite of that, right? Which becomes problematic in itself, because that's an expectation that you're setting yourself up for that you couldn't possibly ever do. And so I can totally see why perfectionist tendencies lead to this kind of stuff. It's just, you know, it's a nut that you're never going to fully crack.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, perfectionism is just a beast. You know what? I'm fine with knowing that now. And I actually was telling my husband this the other day, that I have never been more grateful to learn something and have gone through this journey of TMS in my life. Like, I feel like I learned just so much. And I always heard people say that, and I was like, gosh, this just sucks. Like, how could you ever be grateful for this? But you just learn so much about the world and yourself. And in my space, I can help so many people, hopefully with this, that, it really is an incredible journey to learn the power of your mind and how to live more peacefully.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's something I'm curious about. So, I'm always fascinated by how spouses, you know, kind of how they, like, your husband observes you going through this. He sees you at your worst, and now he's seen you kind of come through it. And, you know, be probably, I mean, I'm sure that you are different than you were pre. I can say that for the good, and then and sometimes not for the so good, that I'm probably pretty different. If you were to ask my wife in a private conversation, like, you know, how is Eddie different? And she would say most of it's good. Some of it's like his filter's sort of gone. And which, you know, it's I think overall it's been a really good thing. But tell me about your husband's thought or some of your husband's feedback on you in this process over the last, you know, couple of years.
Yeah. So I think that, like your wife would probably say, I think that he thinks it's a great thing that he he's actually found this for me, so I can credit him for this. And that I've done so much work. But I also think at the same time that he doesn't really realize the amount of work that's gone into this. Like, I've, you know, stayed up late journaling, and I've talked to counselors and read books and just, you know, had to go through almost hell. It was really hard sometimes to let the waves of panic overcome you and just try to stay calm and peaceful and breathe. And, you know, there's been some really, really difficult days in this journey. And I know that I'm making it sound like roses now, but I don't think that he fully grasps how hard it is. And I notoriously come from a family that is very emotionally closed off. Like, my husband's pretty emotionally closed off in acknowledging some feelings. My mother is maybe the worst. And just from what happened to us with my dad and stuff, it's just made that a thing for our family. And so I think that they just don't fully grasp the whole theory of TMS. And even my husband, like, he'll have back or neck pain, and I'm like, it's TMS. And he's like, oh, I don't really have TMS. It's just how I slept. Well, you have TMS. And finally, after years, like, kind of coming around to being like, everyone has TMS. Everyone does have TMS. It's not a weakness. It's not anything. It just is a fact of life. And if you recognize it, it's going to be a much easier journey for you.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and something that I always like, that I like pointing out, is I think that people that have, you know, back pain or some of these different like ailments that they sort of, you know, it's like they think that they're just getting like the worst of it, and you know, poor me, especially early in the journey, which I totally get. But the thing that I always like to point out is that, look, like, everybody has something. So just because your back hurts incredibly bad, like, your neighbor, after they say hi to you at the mailbox, maybe going in the house and suffering from like a deep depression. And then the person that you bump into at the grocery store may have panic attacks. And then the woman that you see at the health club, she may have terrible acne or terrible skin, but she wears a lot of makeup and it's not, you know what I mean? Like, so sort of everybody has something. Yeah. And I think that's like an important thing that people need to remember. And as long as you are continuously, I hate the phrase of doing the work, even though I sometimes use it, but because it's so obscure, like, what does that mean? And I think for everybody, it's sort of something different. For some people, it's journaling. Other ones, it's the arts. Like, you know, podcasting is great. I'll go ahead and I'll plug that because it's fun it's an art, you know. So talk about some of the stuff that you're doing now. I know that you've kind of recently shifted your focus a little bit in what it is that you're doing professionally. So kind of as we wrap up here, tell me about, you know, what you're doing now, how some of your attention has shifted a little bit. You know, what's your contribution to the world right now?
Yeah, so it has definitely shifted. About 18 months ago, I decided that I wanted to stay home a little bit more with my kids than work in my practice as much. And so I started an online business, and it started more as like health and fitness. And then, just as, you know, time has gone on, things have transformed and changed. And I started doing a lot of online consults and talking to other women, mostly about hormonal things, which I can say with absolute certainty, that within TMS, the chemical changes that are happening when you're secreting like cortisol and adrenaline and your stress hormones all the time, that definitely does change hormones. And so I think TMS is such a wide encompassing thing. And so I get a ton of women that come to me for hormonal consults and the word adrenal fatigue and stuff. But again, it is TMS stuff. And so I've recently launched a program called Recharge with Results that basically just goes through five different pillars. Mindset is the first, and we talk about all of this stuff. We talk about journaling, gratitude, perfectionism, all of these different ways to kind of open your eyes to the way that you're living your life. And then we go through nutrition and types of exercises that are helpful for people. And then sleep as well. Sleep was another big thing for me. If I don't get enough sleep, my TMS goes through the roof. So I did that, and it really is a lot of basis just on, you know, letting the victim mentality go of your life, which was what we kind of ended with. Learning to have more grace with yourself, ending perfectionism so that you can feel good. A lot of people that come to me are very, you know, just feel tired and exhausted and run down, and their hormones are off, and it's all one and of the same thing, in my opinion. So I'm excited to do that and help people fully see this in a more transparent way with me.
I think it's really great that you're connecting so many dots. I know that, I used to do, sports nutrition, like performance, coaching, primarily for like strength athletes and athletes that required like a weigh-in or like a weight class. And one of the things that, this is years before finding Sarno stuff, but one of the things that I would always research quite a bit and talk about a lot, and a lot of the clients that I had, I think that, you know, we're such like a short-term gratification sort of a society that the, you know, people like they would want to do, and when I say, okay, let's, if we're going to drop you into the next weight class down and you need to lose 9 pounds or 7 pounds or whatever the case is, like, let's plan it for a competition that's maybe 6 weeks out or 8 weeks out. And they would always want it to be like, you know, a week, right? So they want to go do a ketogenic diet and strip a bunch of water weight and then feel like hell when the competition comes. And one of the things that I would preach is this, is the idea that losing weight on elevated cortisol levels is next to impossible. And so, if you're in an elevated state and you're not in a relaxed state, it's incredibly hard. It doesn't matter what you do, how much you work out. And the more that you work out in an elevated state, probably even more harm that you're doing, in the sense of, you know, that's what adrenal fatigue ultimately becomes, is like, that's the evolution. And, so it's something that I've been thinking about getting back into. Like, if anybody's listening to this and you're ever curious about, you know, weight loss or being put on a nutrition plan or things like that, like, coach, I did that coaching for 4 or 5 years, and I'm still open to doing it. And, a big part of what I can integrate into that is, you know, kind of thinking about this relaxation techniques and, the fight or flight response and stuff like that. But you're right. Like, it is, it's everything. And that's why people that I've known in the past that, like, you know, they like travel a lot, or they like move to sell sunglasses on the beach in Hawaii, or they're surfing in Australia, right? Like, these people never get injured. They have perfect skin. They're all skinny. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're all in great health. And, you know, there's a reason for that. It's because they're not sitting in traffic, you know, 14 hours a week. And they're, you know, it's just like they're finding a way to be able to bring their whole system to equilibrium. And, you know, those are certainly things to keep in mind.
Yeah, no, totally. I love it.
All right. Well, in closing, is there, where can people find you? If you know, if somebody wants to, you know, I find you in all these different places, where's all the different places they can find you?
So probably the best place is on my website. It's just alliedameron.com. And, on there you can get a link to the podcast, which is the Ally Dameron Show, my program Recharge with Results, and information about me on there. And I'm also on Instagram at Ally Dameron and Facebook at ally.dameron. So I'm any of those places.
Something I've always thought is that you have a amazing name for a brand, like, it almost to where it sounds fake.
Gosh, thank you. That's hilarious. I never thought about that before.
So, like, you know, the whole idea, because I was in radio for several years too, and the whole idea of like a great show is something, like a great show name is something typically that has a shorter name. And I would love to call this the first name, last name show. But the problem is, like, the Eddie Lindenstein Show, it's so easy for somebody to never find it because the spelling is so obscure, right? I would love to be able to have, I own the domain eddielindenstein.com, but if I send somebody to that, they're never going to find it because phonetically it looks different, like it's spelled differently than how you would imagine. So, which, by the way, so it would be ALIDAMRON.com.
Yep, you got it.
I'll link it in the show notes. Allie, thanks so much for your time and your story. I think there's going to be a lot of people that will resonate with a lot of the messaging that you have here. And if you're in the Denver area, you can, of course, do local consults with Allie as well.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Yeah, thank you.